commence our season of worship by singing together the hymn number 40 in your hymn book. The hymn number 40, the page 191. O worship the King, all glorious above. O gratefully sing his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. The hymn number 40, the page 191, standing as we sing, and singing it each one out with all of our hearts. Just look to the Lord in prayer, praying for the Lord's help and blessing among us here in our times of worship today. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we just thank Thee today, Lord, for the wonderful privilege and mercy that is afforded to us of gathering together here in this season of public worship. And Father, we come in no merit of our own, but we come today through the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, our only Redeemer, the one who is indeed the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And Father, we thank Thee for Christ, who was sinless, who was without sin, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Yet, O God, we thank that He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank Thee, O God, that He came in accordance with Thy great plan and purpose of redemption from eternity past. And Father, we thank Thee that He came to this earth. He walked amongst men. He lived a perfect life. We thank Thee, O God, that He kept the law of God perfectly for us. And Father, we thank Thee that as our substitute, He went willingly to the cross of Calvary. And there He offered up Himself as a once for all, a sacrifice for sin. And Father, we thank Thee for the precious blood that He shed, that blood that is blood that washes us whiter than the snow, that cleanseth us from all sin, and that blood that is incorruptible blood. And Father, we thank that He satisfied divine justice, and He opened up and made a way back to God for sinful man from the dark paths of sin. And Father, we praise Thee that on that cross He cried out, "It is finished." And we thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that the third day He rose again, alive forevermore, never to die again. And Father, we thank that He lives in the power of an endless life. And we praise Thee and we thank Thee that as our great High Priest, He has ascended on high. And there He prays for us. He ever lives to intercede for us, O God, at Thy right hand in heaven's glory. And Father, we thank Thee and we praise Thee, O God, today for our acceptance through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, we just thank Thee today that Thou art the great I Am, and that through Christ our Redeemer we can worship Thee. We can call Thee Abba our Father, and we can rejoice in the joy and the knowledge of sins forgiven, of pardon for sin, peace with God, and through faith in Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our own and personal Savior. And Father, we just pray today that Thou would bless here our coming together in this time of worship. We just pray, O God, that we might know a gracious sense of Thy presence among us here today. We pray, Lord, that Thou will cleanse our hearts afresh, create within us that clean heart, renew, Lord, within us that right spirit, and help us to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, O God. Grant, Lord, that the thoughts of our heart and the words of our lips today would be acceptable, Lord, in Thy sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Take our eyes off ourselves and of our circumstances and fix our eyes upon the Lord, upon Thee, who is the great I Am, the One who is altogether sufficient to meet our every need. Father, we thank Thee for every Christian in the service of worship today, for all who are saved, who can rejoice today as Christ is their Redeemer. Lord, bless Thy people. May every child of Thine be strengthened in their faith and in their walk with God, and drawn closer, Lord, to Thee. May we be conformed more to the image of Christ, and help us to die more and more to self and to sin and to the ways of this world. And help us, Lord, in our daily lives, day by day, to shine for Thee, and to be, as it were, a witness, Lord, for Thee, to give forth the light of Christ and the light of the gospel to others. Remember our homes and our families and our family circles. We pray for Thy blessing upon them, and that Thou would indeed unite them all in the Lord Jesus Christ, O God, we pray. For, Lord, those going through times of trial or difficulty at this time, may they know that gracious touch and strength from the Lord. Lord, those that need guidance and direction for their life, teach them and lead them in the way that Thou wilt have them to go. And, Lord, for any who maybe are cold at heart, maybe far off from God, Lord, restore such to Thyself today. And Lord, for any in our gathering not saved, be they young or old, and they've never came as a repentant sinner to Christ and trusted Him for salvation, we pray that even today, by Thy grace and Spirit, that they might come to an end of themselves and come to rely totally and entirely upon the Lord Jesus Christ and upon His finished work, upon His person and sacrifice alone for their salvation. We thank Thee that Thou hast promised that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think of those that cannot join with us today, Lord. Bless them, those that are sick and elderly and infirm, those that are in hospital and residential care. The Lord, bless them, minister to their needs, we pray of Thee. Strengthen them by the mighty hand of God. Again, Lord, we pray for others that may be on holiday at this time. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt bless them also, O God, and refresh them and encourage them in the Lord. And remember also, Lord, those who mourn and grieve. We pray that Thou wilt comfort them that thou wilt fill the vacant chair with the presence of the Lord, and that thou wilt bless them. We thank the Lord for thy goodness, especially to our brother Mr. Tommy Robinson and his wife Edith and the marking of their 70th wedding anniversary. We thank thee for your goodness and mercies to them over many years and to them as a family. And we pray that especially at this time they'll know much of thy nearness, thy goodness, thy strength. And Lord, that grace to encourage them and to help them day by day, we ask of thee. Father, bless our land, O God, today. Remember all our sister congregations, we pray. We pray for every minister, every student, every layman, Lord, who will minister thy word. May they know the hand of God to be upon them for good. And Father, we pray that as thy word is preached here in this province, across the border, the south of Ireland, we think of thy works over in the mainland of Britain and further afield across the globe today. Bless every faithful messenger of the cross. Build thy church, extend thy kingdom, and may many come to know and to trust the Lord for salvation. Remember, O God, our brother Colin and Noel as they commence that mission today in Newton Stewart. Bless them there. Other gospel missions commencing today as well. Now, Father, we do pray for the outreach here in the church in the week that lies ahead. Remember the ladies' meeting tomorrow night, the children's work as it recommences. Bless the Sabbath school. Continue to strengthen this as it continues. And the youth fellowship, we pray. And the online ministry, we ask. And the giving out of gospel literature around the community. Bless all these things, we pray, to the strengthening of thy cause, the blessing of your people, and the saving of sinners. We pray for our land, O God, that thou wilt send us seasons of revival and refreshing. We pray for those that would rule in our land, that they might rule in righteousness and in accordance with thy word. And, Lord, those that would seek to promote that which is contrary to thy word and to thy truth, we pray, Lord, that their plans might not come to fruition, we ask. And we pray, Father, for our royal family. Have mercy, Lord, upon them. We pray that the light of thy truth, the light of the gospel, will shine into that household and there might be that turning to the Lord. We pray, Lord, today, Lord, for the land of Ukraine as well. Intervene in mercy there. We pray that that war would soon come to an end and there might be peace and stability in that land. And that, Lord, thy protecting hand especially will be upon the witness of thy people there. So, Father, bless us now, we pray. Send our hearts and our souls and minds upon the Lord. Bless us as we further praise thy name, read thy word, and preach thy word. Have thy way among us today. And we just pray that in every part of our times of worship that man will be hidden far behind the cross and that the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. In his name we pray, and for his glory we ask it. Amen. We're going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 72. In your hymn book, the hymn number 72, on the page 204. Lord enthroned in heavenly splendor, first begotten from the dead, thou alone, our strong defender, lift us up, thy people said, hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus, true and living bread. The hymn number 72, we'll stand as we sing. Standing as we sing.
Born in God in every splendor, first be God in all the day. Lord, on our strong defender, live is of thy people's head. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus, true and living.
have your Bible with you today, I would ask you to turn, please, to the New Testament book of John's Gospel, chapter number 15. We're reading some verses from the chapter there. And then also, if you could turn back to the Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. I want to read one verse also from that chapter. Reading, first of all, from John's Gospel, chapter 15. You like to mark that passage. And then turning back to the Song of Solomon in the middle part of the Old Testament, I want to read one verse in particular from chapter 2 of Song of Solomon. We'll commence our reading at John's Gospel, chapter 15, and the verse number 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And as the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. And then turning back, please, to the book of Song of Solomon, the chapter number 2, in just one verse. I want to read with you from that chapter. It's the verse number 15 of Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, near the end of the chapter. It says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Amen. We'll end our reading there at that verse 15, and our prayer is that God will add his own blessing to the public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day to God's house. It's good to see each one gathered with us today. We give you all a very warm word of welcome in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're visiting with us today, we extend you a very special welcome. It's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship. We trust that you'll feel at home and you know the blessing of the Lord in your heart. Give a special welcome to our brother, Mr. George Robinson, and wife Linda at home from Canada, and also our sister Pat Mills. It must be a Canadian reunion this morning, but we welcome them in the Lord's name. And then other visitors as well, we're delighted to see you. And we pray God will bless you today. If you're a child of God, may you be strengthened. And if you're here today and you're not saved, even today may you put your trust in the Lord Jesus alone for your salvation. For those who may be listening in online as well, we thank you for joining with us. And we pray God will bless you today around his word and around his precious truth. Announcements for the incoming week are as follows. Do please remember tonight the prayer meeting at 6:30. We encourage as many as possible to gather for the season of prayer in the prayer room at the front there. The gospel service at 7 p.m. I belong to minister God's word. Commend that. Trust as many as possible will gather, young and old alike, and invite and encourage others in under the sound of the gospel meeting and pray for God's blessing upon the ministry of His Word. Tomorrow night, 8 p.m. here in the church, is the return of the Ladies' Fellowship meeting, and our sister, Miss Pat Mills, will be along to speak tomorrow night. A sister has labored for many years as a missionary to the Jewish people in particular in the city of Toronto in Canada. She'll be coming tomorrow night in particular just to speak on the Jewish Passover feast and the lessons there are for us as God's people from that Passover feast. She'll be setting out the Passover table and bringing lessons to all who have gathered regarding that. We commend that to all the ladies. Trust as many as possible will gather. And you're welcome to bring friends with you as well. And we trust it'll be a blessed night of fellowship and be much in prayer for those meetings as they continue over the year. Tuesday night here in the church, 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. I belong to take that meeting. We commend that to every believer. Trust, child of God, you'll keep Tuesday night free and join with us for prayer and Bible study. Do please remember Bethel Children's Crusade meetings all recommence this week. Each weeknight at 6:30, Tuesday night, Tresna, Wednesday night, Lisbalaw, Thursday night, Maguire's Bridge, then Friday night here in Bethel. Pray for the meetings, pray for the children. Remember Sister Gillian, especially in your prayers and all who help. And as was mentioned last week, there is a need for helpers in the meetings. And if you can help in this respect in any way, maybe it's just to sit amongst the children, whatever, and some of those nights that maybe suit you, lie into where you live or whatever, do speak to our sister Gillian, and she'll be glad of your help and your assistance. Friday night here in the church, 8 p.m., it is the youth fellowship meeting. We commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible will gather, and I'll be along to bring God's word at that meeting. Next Lord's Day, the 17th of September, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m., morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service, 7. Both services preceded by the half hour of prayer, and we pray that you'd gather with us and pray for God's blessing upon God's word at those meetings. Tuesday night, the 26th of September, at 9:30, there'll be a meeting of the church committee after the midweek prayer meeting. Ask the brethren to remember that. And then also on Thursday, the 28th of September at 8 p.m., there'll be a meeting of the church session here, and ask the members of session to remember that also. The Vision magazine, the Let the Bible Speak magazine are available. There's also those recent CDs produced by our brother, Mr. Sam Houston as well. The Lord's Day evening, a fortnight from today, that's the 24th of September, we'll be hosting the annual service for Enniskillen Royal Black Preceptory. Pray for that. Do make it known, encourage others in, and pray for God's blessing upon God's word, upon all those who will gather on that evening. Then, as we mentioned last Tuesday night, we're going down next week to the ploughing outreach, not this week, the following week, but if any ladies can help with foodstuffs, as tray bakes, eats, or buns, or whatever, that have a particular long shelf life, if they could be here in the prayer room, or in the kitchen, rather, on Tuesday night, let's leave them over at the manse by Wednesday. We want to load up the trailer and prepare for that at the end of the week. And if you are putting it in boxes or whatever, I ask you if you could, at all possible, use boxes or tins or whatever you don't want back again, for once they go down, they'll probably not return. But if you can help with this, we thank you for your help in the past. That will be deeply appreciated by the outreach team. Monday night, the 18th of September, 8 p.m., is the ordination service for Brother Mr. David Wilson as the new minister of Ballyclare Free Church, and that service is in Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church. Also next Monday night, the 18th of September, at 8 p.m., is the annual ladies' rally in our Dungannon congregation. Friday night, the 29th of September, at 7:30, in Ecclesville Centre in Fintana, there's a rally organised by our education board, really highlighting the facts about RSE, the alternative of Christian education, a very important subject. The Reverend Brian McClung there is the speaker, and all are welcome. And then also on Saturday night, the 30th of September, at 7 p.m., in our Martyrs Memorial Church, again, there's another rally organized by our presbytery against this RSE curriculum coming in. The speaker there is Mr. Callum Webster from the Christian Institute. So do remember that. Also, tomorrow night, 8 p.m. in our Martyrs Church is the college, Whitfield College graduation service. This incoming weekend is the Koskiri Annual Conference on Friday night, the 15th, 8 p.m. The preacher there is the Reverend Brian McClung. Do please pray also for our brother Colin and Noel commencing a mission today, 2 weeks down in Newton Stewart. And then also do pray for our brother, Reverend Gordon Dean. We understand he had a serious cycling accident yesterday. So do pray for him and for his recovery. I want to thank you also for your prayers, the outreach yesterday down to Maynooth. There was a team of about 42 went down. The whole town was visited with tracts and literature, and we have a meeting planned for tomorrow night there as well at 8 o'clock. Pray for that and for all who would travel, for travelling mercies, and that people would come in to that gospel meeting. I want to thank you sincerely in the Lord for your prayers. And then just as a church and as a congregation, we'd like to express our congratulations, warmest congratulations to our brother, Mr. Tommy Robinson, and his wife, Edith. Yesterday, they celebrated their 70th wedding anniversary with their family. And we thank the Lord for his goodness to them over those many years and to their family. And we pray the Lord will richly bless them at this time as they spend time with family and loved ones, that they know the Lord's presence and nearness and God's goodness and grace upon them, even in the days that lie ahead. So that's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to hymn number 515. 515. We'll keep our seats while we sing the early part of this hymn. We don't take up an offering, but do remember the offering plates as you leave. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready his service to do? We'll keep our seats as we sing the early part of this hymn, 515.
Yeah.
turn to God's Word, to those passages that we read earlier. And with God's Word open before us, let us bow in a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We pray that that sense of Thy presence among us today would increase more and more amongst us. That all of us, Lord, would be very conscious of Thy nearness, of Thy presence, of Thy speaking voice. Lord, it is Thy voice that we long to hear. And Lord, give us grace not only to hear Thy voice, but to heed Thy voice, to obey Thy word, O God, and to live it out in our lives as Thou would see our need. Draw near. Lord, fill this preacher afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God. Let nothing be said that is not of Thee. Guide our thoughts, direct our words. May every word be as thus and thus saith the Lord. And Lord, bless Thy word today to the strengthening and the sanctifying of every Christian in this meeting. And Lord, bless Thy word especially too, Lord, to the saving of those that are still out of Christ. O Father, today may the flee from the wrath to come, and may the trust the Lord to be their Savior. Answer prayer to this end. Pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation, and I close us, Lord, in with Thyself. And may we go home today rejoicing that we've met with the Lord, and that we've heard Thy voice. For Thy voice is sweet, and Thy presence, O God, is comely. Answer prayer, for we ask all these things in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. Our text for today is that verse that we read together from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and the verse number 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Over in John's Gospel, chapter 15, that chapter we also read from today already, in those verses in particular, the Lord Jesus Christ, He refers to Himself as the true vine and His people as the branches of the vine. And with this analogy, He really reminds His people that He is the source of all their spiritual life. In verse 5 there of John 15, He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without Me ye can do nothing. And of course, that really reminds us of how every born-again Christian is one who is a partaker of the divine nature, and they have a saving union with the Lord Jesus Christ. They are united to Christ through faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The Bible, speaking of the Christian, says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And that verse in particular speaks of every Christian, every believer being one who is in Christ, who is united to Christ. And light of that, dear people, the thing that we all need to consider even at the very outset today is this. As we sit in this meeting, let us ask ourselves the question today, are we in Christ? Have we repented of our sins? Are we trusting in Christ today? Are we resting in the blood of Christ shed at Calvary's cross alone to wash away our sins and to save our soul? Are we resting alone upon Christ's perfect righteousness for our acceptance with God? For without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, then we remain lost in our sins. We remain separated from the Lord, and we remain on that broad way to a lost eternity in hell itself. Dear friend, if that is your condition here in this service today, then I would urge you, if you're still unsaved, to come today to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come just as you are. As a poor and needy sinner, come in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Acknowledge your sin to Him. Confess your sin to Him. Thank Him for dying for you upon the cross of Calvary. And by faith alone, ask Him to save you. Ask Him to pardon your sins. Ask Him to blot out your sins by the precious blood that He shed freely for sinners upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, today if you're not saved, we would pray, we would beseech you that today you would start out for heaven and for glory, becoming as a sinner to Christ, casting aside every other false prop of man or of self for your salvation, and rest alone upon the finished work, the once for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for your salvation. Oh, to be in Christ. Are you in Christ today? Yes, every believer is in Christ. Every believer is joined to Christ by saving faith, and as a branch that is joined to Christ, who is the true vine. The Lord's purpose for all his people is that they grow in their faith, and that there is a bearing of spiritual fruit in their lives as Christians. And the Lord speaks of that very purpose there in verse 16 of John chapter 15. As he speaks to his disciples and to every believer in Christ, he says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it unto you." We're saved to bear fruit for the Lord, and the character of that fruit that is to be found in our lives that the Lord desires for his people is mentioned to us in the Scriptures. Think of the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to God's people in the Epistle to the Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. He says there, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." And that's the fruit that the Lord desires, and the purpose of the Lord for all of his people who are redeemed and who are saved. However, sadly, through the attack of the world and the flesh and the devil upon the Christian, yes, this spiritual growth, this bearing of spiritual fruit in the life of the Christian, it can be impeded. It can be hindered in the life of the child of God, whoever that child of God is. And I believe the Lord warns his people of this reality through the words of our text today in Song of Solomon chapter 2 in the verse number 15. Where it says, "There takest the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." And here the Lord, through his word, he uses the attack of the little fox upon the vine to warn God's people, to warn the Christian of how the devil, yes, can use the world, the flesh, and what may seem to man apparent, as it were, little sins, as it were, to hinder them in their walk with God and their fellowship with Christ and their service for the Lord. And dear believer, in our meeting, can I say this is something that we all must be aware of in the Christian life, something we all must realize. Yes, the devil's ploy is to use even certain little things, certain little foxes, as it were, of sin, of the world, and other things that are contrary to the Lord. He would use these things to hinder, to impede our walk with God, to hinder our spiritual growth and the promotion and the producing, as it were, of that spiritual fruit that he desires in our lives as God's people. And so that reason then that I want us to consider and heed the warning of our text today, and consider the little foxes that are spoken of here in our text, those little foxes that can spoil the vine. First of all then, what are the little foxes that spoil the vine? Our text says, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine." And these little foxes, yes, are things that can creep into the Christian's life, maybe things that maybe are almost, as it were, unnoticed in the life of the Christian. But such things can hinder spiritual growth. Such things can hinder spiritual fruit. By these little foxes, yes, they can include sins of the heart and secret sins. David, he acknowledges the reality of such before the Lord, for he prays, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord." He says, "Cleanse thou me from, from secret faults. And believer, yes, you and I as Christians, we are not immune from those secret sins of the heart. Things perhaps that are unseen by our friends, by our family, by our nearest and dearest, and from others around us in society. However, nonetheless, they are seen by the Lord. They are known off by the Lord. My Moses realized that, for in Psalm 90, he said these words to the Lord. He says, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee and our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." And as believers, as those who are saved, yes, our hearts sadly can, as it were, be beset of little foxes that are spoken of in our text. Maybe the little fox of jealousy, the little fox of pride, the little fox of impurity, the little fox of unbelief, the little fox of anger and uncharitableness, the little fox of evil imaginations and malice towards others, even toward our fellow Christian. Also, these little foxes, they can include those sins of our lips and our tongues as the people of God. Again, the psalmist spoke of that and knew of that in his own life and the potential of that in his own life. For he prayed to the Lord. He says, "Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue." Turn in our Bibles, please, over to the New Testament book of James. James chapter number 3. James chapter number 3. And here in this chapter in particular, James, he warns God's people about the awful trouble and hurt that a sinful tongue, a deceitful tongue, can affect and cause and in lives not only of the person involved, but in the lives of others. In James chapter 3 and the verse number 5, he says, "Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on the fire of hell." Verse 8, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." Verse 10, "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not as so to be." There James warns you and I as Christians of the awful danger of our tongue, of our words, and of the words that we speak through our lips, even as Christians. My speaking about the consequences of an unruly tongue. C.H. Spurgeon, he said to his congregation on one occasion regarding this matter, he says, "Tongues are more terrible than instruments of war that can be made but with hammers and anvils." He says, "The evil which they inflict cuts deeper and spreads wider." And he was warning there God's people in particular of the awful evil and hurt that words and the tongue can cause to people in society and to the person involved. Dear child of God, in our meeting today, yes, as believers, you and I, yes, we need to beware of the little fox, often unruly tongue. An undisciplined tongue, a lying tongue, a critical tongue, a tail-bearing tongue. That tongue, yes, can do awful harm to our own testimony as Christians and harm to the work of God and harm to the lives of others as well around us. Paul, whenever he was writing to the Christians in the church at Ephesus, he warned them very especially about their words and to guard their words and to guard their speech and their tongue. And Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse 29, he says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." We are to be careful as God's people of the little foxes of our words that can cause awful harm to our testimony. and the testimony of others around us in our home, in our family, in our workplace, in society, and in the work of God itself. Also, we can say further this morning that these little foxes, yes, they can include the sins of our behavior as Christians. The Bible says to you and I who are saved, it says, let our conversation be as it becometh the gospel. And when Paul talks here about our conversation, he's talking about our life, our behavior as Christians. And my, the Bible warns us by a wrong spirit, the little fox of unkindness or thoughtlessness or harshness or our worldliness can be exhibited in our life and in our treatment of others. And the little fox is aware of being wrong in our relationship with others is something that can be easily manifested and show forth itself in our life and in our attitude to others. Also, we can say further, the little fox of pretension, living beyond our means, also can be seen in our life as Christians. Then also the little fox of being neglectful of the things of God. This too can arise in our life as believers. And the result is that we no longer give priority to the things of God. We no longer give priority to prayer, to the reading of the Scriptures, to the public worship of the Lord, Lord's Day morning, Lord's Day evening, and the prayer meeting, and the other public means of grace that God has ordained for our souls and for our good and blessing as His people. And little by little, these things can be set aside in the life of the Christian and in the life of the child of God and in the life of the Church of Christ. Our text says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. Here, yes, we see the warning of the little foxes. But notice, secondly, not only the warning of what these foxes are, but notice, secondly, the manner in which the little foxes spoil the vine. Our text says, take us the little foxes that spoil the vines. Notice that word spoil in our text. It literally means to injure. It means to hurt. It means to damage or even to destroy. And the thought here is that the little foxes of sin regarding our life as Christians, our heart, our lips, our behavior, yes, these are things that can seriously injure the testimony of the believer. Yes, such things, they can cause hurt, even destroy the Christian's witness for the Lord, indeed the witness of others as well, and especially those who are young believers, those who are young in the faith. Notice the emphasis of that very point at the end of our text in Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15. It says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. And the spiritual lesson, the thought is there of those particularly who are young and tender in the faith. Young in the faith. And how these little foxes can do awful harm to those that are young in the faith. Yes, the little foxes of sin are things that will rob you and I as Christians of spiritual strength. You remember Samson of old that you read about in the book of Judges. He broke his vow of separation as a Nazarite. What was the end result? It was this. He lost the power of God upon his life and witness. The Bible says of Samson, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And the little fox also of sin, it will prevent our growth as Christians. It will hinder our fruitfulness for the Lord. This was the case with believers in the church in Corinth in the day of the Apostle Paul. Turning your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And here he is writing to believers in Christ in the church in Corinth. But instead of maturing in their faith, they had remained babes in Christ and had lived carnal lives, even as Christians. And he addresses this matter amongst them in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 3. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. There should have been that maturing, that going on, that advancing, but alas, something hindered. Some little foxes, as it were, impeded them in their walk with God. The result is that Paul had to feed them, he says in the passage, with the milk of God's word. Instead of with the strong meat of God's word, look at verse 2. He says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Also another effect of this lack of maturity amongst them was the little foxes of envy and strife and division among them. Those in the Corinthian church said they were followers of Apollos, of Peter, of Cephas, of Paul. And Paul again addresses that in verse 3 of the chapter, and he says, ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are not ye carnal and walk as men. There he was warning them of the effect of these little foxes that had crept in amongst them, hindered their walk with God and hindered their fellowship of one another as believers in Christ. Then we can say further this morning that these little foxes will endanger, yes, our spiritual life as Christians. You think of a vine, think of a vineyard. If that vine is neglected by the husbandman, by the gardener, as it were, the vine will eventually wither and die. If it's not fed, if it's not watered, if it's not pruned and cared for, if it's just left to itself, it will just wither and die, and its whole purpose will come to naught. Dear Christian, the message there to you and I as believers is this, that if we let the little foxes, as it were, of sin take control of our lives as Christians, then we'll give way to spiritual lethargy in our souls as believers. Indifference will creep in. Carelessness will creep in to our lives as Christians. Coldness and apathy to the things of God, worldliness, unbelief, these things will set in and will take precedence and take control in our lives as Christians, and we will lose our vision and our burden for the lost and for those around us that are perishing in sin. And again, that was the case with the Corinthian church. Remember how Paul spoke to them. 1 Corinthians 15, he says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. They'd got their eyes, so to speak, of the ball. They lost their vision and burden for souls and those perishing. And Paul spoke to them. He says, some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And child of God, that's what happens when these little foxes take full control of our lives as believers in Christ. They hinder whole walk and purpose and witness for Christ. Also, as Christians, yes, these little foxes can cause us to turn back. To turn back from the Lord. To turn away from the work of God. To turn away from the people of God and the fellowship of the saints of God. And the outcome will be that we'll be ending up running with the world and the enemies of Christ and those that perhaps have no time for the things of God. That's how it was with the Apostle Peter. Remember Peter at the trial of Christ? At that trial, he was overcome. Overcome with the little fox of pride in his heart as a believer, as a Christian, as a servant of God. He had boasted earlier that he would not forsake the Lord. But when Christ was arrested, he forsook the Lord. He denied his Savior. He cursed his Savior. He went and he warmed themselves with the ungodly at the fire, with those who are the very enemies of Christ. The Bible says he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man, the one who was going to die for his sins and redeem his soul and shed his blood. He said of Christ, I know not the man. You see, the Bible says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. And brethren and sisters in Christ, that's a warning to every single one of us today. No matter who we are in this gathering, no matter how long we're saved and on the road to heaven, if any man think of he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. Yes, the reality of these little foxes, the harm that they can do. But notice finally from our text today, notice the removal of these little foxes that spoil the vine. Surely that's really the whole message, the whole trust of our text, where it says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. That little phrase, or take us, is really a form of a command to the believer, to the church of Christ, that these things would be taken, as it were, and cast aside from the life of the Christian and the life of the church of Christ. As God's people, yes, we must be vigilant against those little foxes of sin that may creep into our lives. And brethren and sisters in Christ, if you and I, yes, if we, as it were, ward off those little foxes, if we are to do that, how important then it is that as Christians we be vigilant and are watchful and prayerful as God's people. The Lord says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Child of God, that is why prayer is so important in our lives as Christians. That's why private prayer is so important. That's why the seasons of public prayer are so important, because these things are ordained of God for our good, for our protection against the little foxes of the world and of ungodly things that would creep into our lives and hinder us as Christians. Remember how the Lord taught the disciples to pray in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yes, we must be watchful and prayerful. And also as God's people, yes, we must put to death, as it were, those little foxes of sin. Our verse says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. That word take implies these little foxes being caught, as it were, and being put to death. And that is how you and I as Christians are to deal with the little foxes of sin that can affect our life as Christians. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, it says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And as God's people, yes, our sanctification means that we must be continually dying as Christians to self and to sin and to the things, the ungodly ways of this world. The Bible says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. And that is God's command to us as Christians through His Word. As brethren and sisters in Christ today, we need to understand, yes, we cannot battle against sin in our own strength as believers. We'll surely fail. No matter how determined we might be, as it were, in this battle, in this warfare, we will fail in our own strength. And the hymn writer highlighted that very fact in that great hymn, stand up for Jesus. For in that hymn he says, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. And there he is warning us as Christians not to rest upon the arm of our own flesh, as it were, in the battle against sin and the ungodly ways of the world. And he gives us the answer, the remedy, in that very same hymn. And he says, stand up for Jesus. Stand in His strength alone. And the thought is there, we must depend upon the Lord and the Lord alone. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The Lord was his strength. And believer, the Lord is your strength today in our hearts and lives as Christians in the battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those little foxes that would spoil us or hinder us and mar our testimony as Christians. The Bible says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Daily as God's people, we should seek the Lord for that fresh cleansing in the Savior's precious blood. The Bible says if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And daily as Christians also, we should seek the Lord for His help. For the power, the infilling, the enablement of God the Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians, that we might live above the world in sin. And those little foxes, as it were, that would attack us as Christians, that we might live above them. Live for God's honor and live for God's glory in our life day by day. Turn over there to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. And look at what Paul there says to you and I as Christians through his word. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 16 and verse 25 of the chapter. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. The Spirit, there's a reference to the Holy Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Verse 25 again, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Jesus says to you and I as Christians, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father Give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. We're to walk in the Spirit day by day, believer. Seek God and ask God to fill your heart, to fill your life, to fill your soul with the Spirit of God. This is not just a once-for-all experience in the life of the Christian. No, this is our daily walk with God as Christians, depending upon the Lord, seeking the Lord, walking in the Spirit, depending upon God the Holy Ghost. And what will be the outcome in our lives as Christians? What will be the mark of our lives as Christians? Look at verse 22 and verse 23 again there of Galatians chapter 5. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Think of that which is listed there. All that fruit of the Spirit was perfectly displayed in the life of Christ while he was here. Now, if Christ was the perfect representation of all those words that are mentioned there in verse 22 and verse number 23, dear Christian, Christ is to be our example. He is the one that you and I are to follow. He is the one that we are to be like in our life day by day. Praise God through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, through His strength, through the infilling of God the Holy Spirit, through the power of His precious blood in our hearts and souls, you and I can live in our homes, in the workplace, in God's work in this community, and in all the circumstances of life around us, live to God's honor and God's glory. You remember, dear Christian, that in Christ you have a full Christ, one who is altogether sufficient to meet your need and my need and the needs of all the countless numbers of God's people right to the very end of time itself. And what is God's purpose for us? That we might live to His honor, to His glory. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The first answer in our charter catechism says, man's chief end is to glorify God and to joy Him forever. Why then should we take away the little foxes, those little foxes that spoil the vine, that would attack us and hinder us as Christians? So that you and I day by day would seek by God's grace to fulfill that great purpose of bringing honor and glory to God in every aspect of our lives day by day as God's redeemed people. We'll close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 411. 411, I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean, a sunlit heart with not a cloud between, a heart like thine, a heart divine, a heart as white as snow. On me, dear Lord, a heart like this bestow. Let us sing this hymn heartily unto the Lord. May it be the prayer of all our hearts today as God's people. We'll stand as we sing as the organist leads us in our praise. Let us stand as we sing.
I want
Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us and Thy nearness, Lord, and Thy speaking voice. And even while man's voice is silent, speak on, even through Thy word to our hearts today. Apply Thy word to our hearts, to our lives as Christians. So I would see the need. Help us to take the foxes, those little foxes that would spoil the vine. And by Thy grace and by Thy power, help us to overcome them. Help us day by day in our life, in our home, in our workplace, amongst our family, in our communities, and in Thy work, to follow after the example of Christ and to show forth His example to others around us day by day. Lord, for any in the meeting today, Lord, and they're not saved, speak to them. May they realize, O God, how awful it would be for them to die in their sin and to be lost in their sin and to perish forevermore in a lost sinner's hell. No, today may they come to Christ and find in Him a pardon, a welcome, salvation for time and for all of eternity. Answer prayer, take us to our homes in safety. Bless us throughout Thy day. May the joy of the Lord be our portion, we pray. Return us again in Thy will this evening, our we ask. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.